Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. For our last episode on these personality continua that we've been talking about all week. And today's topic is changeability versus unchangeability. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even sure that unchangeability is really a word. It always has a red squiggly underneath it. But, you know, from a word structure perspective, I think it's correct. Unchangeability, I think it fits.
If not correct, at least comprehensible.
It is easily understood. We know what it means.
We know exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
And that's sometimes good enough.
That's right. Especially
in this age of technology.
When it's me, because you use words that I don't know.
Oh. So. I thought it was it's because it's you, because...
No. Well, that too.
But I didn't want to say the narcissist, the N-word, narcissist.
No.
No, you're not a narcissist.
No, I'm too good for that.
You're too good to be a narcissist.
No. But today we're going to talk about changeability versus unchangeability. And when we're talking about these two, you know, what we're talking about is our overall perspective and view and opinion of how people handle change.
Right.
Now, one end, the changeability side, mm-hmm. is sort of the idea that people are constantly changing and growing. They see that, you know, life is just a series of growth opportunities, right. and changes, mm-hmm. and adjustments to things. Whereas the other end says that, you know, people don't really change unless mm-hmm. they really have to.
Right.
We stay pretty much the same all the time. And, you know, that person is that person forevermore, mm-hmm. unless something happens and changes them in some other way. So again, we have this broad spectrum that it, you know, depending on how you see people, you're going to fall on that spectrum in different places.
Every once in a while when we do these things, it sparks a whole new thought.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to pause for a moment while you're talking. I'm going to write something down that's going to be a future podcast.
Okay.
All right. So keep talking.
Okay.
All right. Changeability.
You make me nervous sometimes.
Yeah.
So let's start with the changeability side, mm-hmm. Of things. When it comes to changeability, what we're talking about is, again, that idea that people can change, that people are constantly seeking change, and maybe more importantly, overall, generally speaking, that people change in the area to grow, to
right.
improve, to get better. Mm-hmm. Now, people will certainly change at times for the worst, and that can happen as well. So that fits on that end of the spectrum as well. But generally speaking, people who are on the changeability end mm-hmm. of this continua typically see people as changing with the goal of getting better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, that has a good side and a bad side, right? So a good side is, when as technology improves, as we understand more about things, person on the changeability end is going to be able to adjust and change and grow in a way that's going to help them be mm-hmm. happier and healthier mm-hmm. and fit better into the world around them.
Right.
And so it's going to make them more adaptable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There is a pathological
right.
end to this. And that is when, you know, we are constantly changing and growing so much that we don't have an identity,
right.
that we don't even know who we are, because we continuously change and adapt and adjust. And we've heard of people who have been called chameleons,
right? Chameleon effect.
Yeah, because they continuously change and just become a different person in different places, in different settings, and in different times.
Right, that's right. Mm-hmm. And there's no real identity.
Right.
You don't have an individual identity. You're constantly changing to fit wherever mm-hmm. you happen to be.
Right.
And when you don't have, and you lose your own identity.
Right.
You know, and then it's difficult to make decisions, because you're not making decisions to meet your needs.
Right.
You're making decisions to meet the needs or to fit in
right.
For others.
And we refer to this sometimes as, you know, this can result in personality disorders, mm-hmm. like dependent personality disorders,
right. yeah.
and things like that, where, you don't do anything for yourself. You're doing everything to make others happy, to fit what other people want you to fit. And so you're constantly changing and adjusting and reading your environment to see who it is that I need to be at this time.
And this happens with one of the other examples of this is the classic caregiver,
right?
You know, the person who is always taking care of other people. And if you do that for a lifetime, if you do that for 20 or 30 years, frequently mothers will
right.
experience this.
Right.
Not only mothers, but it is common among mothers who have taken care of their children for 20 or 25 years,
right.
and suddenly they get to 45, or they get to their middle ages, 45, 50, and suddenly they've lost their identity
right.
because they've given it all to other people.
Right.
And it's easy to become resentful
right.
Of spouses or of children or of parents or grandparents, because, you know, imagine a person who's given up who they are to take care of children, and suddenly now you have elderly parents and you have to take care of them.
Right.
You know, and so you've never been able to have your own life.
Right.
You've never made decisions for yourself. And that becomes a problem for
right.
many people. So
yeah. Yeah, so that's some challenges on the changeability end of things. On the other end, we have unchangeability.
Right.
And it's similar to what we talked about before with that, you know, people who want heterostasis, where they want things to stay, or I'm sorry, homeostasis, where they want things to stay the same
right.
and they don't want to change. But when we're talking about this end, what we're really talking about is that, you know, if you believe that people, that at their foundation, the person is the same person that they've always have been.
Right.
That they may have different clothes on, they may be doing something in a different place, but they are the same person at their core.
When you're a good example of that, because through high school, college, before you went, you know, when you worked early on, when you worked in the hospital, you know, before you got your degree, your bachelor's degree, your doctoral degree, as a teacher, working in psychiatry, now working in private practice, you've been essentially the same person, regardless of the environment, right?
I try.
You were the same when you were working as a high school student, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were basically the same person.
Yeah, pretty consistent.
I mean, people would know, oh yeah, that's Bernie, that's what Bernie does.
That's right. Still like Ninja Turtles.
You still like, you have Ninja Turtle underpants.
Do you, how did
you
know?
Still have those?
No.
Oh, I thought maybe you still
be quiet.
Okay. That's our secret.
but the unchangeability is that we are fundamentally the same, and that people
right.
don't really have the capacity to change fundamentally.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, there's good side and bad side to that, because the good side is that, okay, so we believe that at our core we are who we are. So we believe that we're consistent. We believe that we are predictable. We believe that, you know, if you are expecting something positive from somebody, they're going to give you something positive because that's just who they are. Now, the pathological end of that is what we see a lot of times. And sometimes we use unchangeability as a way to demonize people and to shun people and to push people away. And when we think about people who are like, the big thing that jumps in my head, of course, are people who have a have been charged and have committed sexual abuse and
right.
things like that, where, you know, we have a difficult time believing that they are amenable to rehabilitation. Now, we know that some people are very amenable to rehabilitation, but, you know, what always comes through our mind is that, you know, somebody who was found guilty and punished for that type of thing, and then they serve their time in prison and then they're released, and if they engage in that behavior again, the first thing that comes to our mind is people never change.
People never change, right?
People never change. You can't change those tendencies. That's what we think, and so that is, you know, sort of ideas on that
right.
end of the change or changeability versus unchangeability spectrum.
That's right, because that's one of the things we look for when we make clinical decisions.
Right.
What is the likelihood that this person can change?
Right.
Whether it's change their, it doesn't matter what it is. Whether it's criminal behavior, parenting behavior. Children's behavior in school, children's behavior at home, parents' treatment of their children, What is the likelihood that this person can change?
Right.
And that's an important characteristic that we need to consider in our clinical
work. And a lot of that is going to be based upon their own belief about things. If you are talking with somebody and they are on that unchangeability end of the spectrum, and they're here for treatment, or they need some support, or they need to make changes, they're going to have a really difficult time because fundamentally they don't believe that people are capable of that kind of change.
And no matter what you offer or no matter what you promise, they're kind of incapable of getting there.
Right.
You know, no matter what you do. I mean, there are some children who simply can't make transitions. Doesn't matter how you reward. Parents will come in and say, well, it doesn't matter whether I reward or punish him, nothing changes.
Right.
Well, you might be running into that person's basic temperament, their basic worldview on this particular dimension.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, throughout the week, we've talked about these five continua, and we've talked about sort of positive and negative things about each end of the each continua. In reality, we all fall somewhere in the middle.
That's right.
Sometimes we go more to the left, and sometimes we go more to the right. But typically speaking, we're somewhere in the middle, and so we're asked sometimes about evaluation. You know, why, if we know some of these traits, and we know that, as we were just saying, that a person on the unchangeability end of things, they may be less likely to change. And so then we could know. So if you take that offender person that I was talking about earlier, and you do an assessment and you find that they are on the unchangeability end, then you know that, okay, that person is going to be very resistant to change.
Right.
The challenge with truly evaluating some of these things is that depending on the context in which the person is taking any particular test, they're going to potentially or very likely respond in a way that is consistent with what their need is at the time.
Right.
So if I'm in trouble for doing something that I shouldn't have done, and I take a test and it talks about, you know, there's a question that says, I believe that people are capable of change. Well, of course, I'm going to say yes, no matter what I believe fundamentally. I'm going to say yes because I want you to believe that I can change because I don't want to be as punished as greatly as I may otherwise be. So it's really difficult to assess a lot of these things in people. It's easy enough to develop these kinds of tests because, you know, we give these tests to a bunch of undergraduate psychology students, and so the likelihood is they're going to be probably a little bit more honest than because they don't have reason not to be honest.
They're not risking anything. There's nothing at stake, so they can answer it honestly, and it's anonymous.
Right.
You know, we don't know who's answering the questions, so they're able to be more candid.
Than
a person who's maybe facing some dire consequences based on the test results.
Right. So then when we do like parenting evaluations for people who are having some challenges related to DCF or, you know, child abuse allegations or something like that, and then they take the test, well, I think that we could assume that there's a greater than likely chance that they're going to respond to items in a direction that's going to make them look more positive and look more amenable to change, whether they are or not.
Right.
And so it's exceedingly difficult to assess these things.
We give we give rating scales to teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
They know they're in trouble because they're here to begin with.
Right.
I mean, they're being brought in. And so they do everything they can to look as normal as possible.
Right.
So they may or may not be telling you the truth when they fill out those rating scales.
Right.
So
So it's really challenging. And so... You know, when we, as we're thinking about all of these different areas and wrapping up this week of personality traits and characteristics that we're talking about, I just want to make sure that we mention that it's much more challenging than it seems. The personality theory, we still have a series that we're going to post up on our other YouTube channel. We're going to do a series on personality and personality disorders, and we're going to talk much more about this. But, you know, the reality with personality is that, you know, we present ourselves in the way that our environment demands us to.
Right.
And so we have this debate between state and trait as it relates to personality characteristics. And, you know, the reality is that there are times when we present one way, and in other environments when we present a different way.
Right.
And it's difficult sort of with any objective means to really determine the difference.
That's right. It's very difficult to know with certainty exactly where somebody is.
Yeah.
So it's important that each of us consider this so that you know where you are, whether you have to admit it or not. You know where you are, and you can deal with the people in your life accordingly.
Right.
You know,
right.
You're going to encounter people who are on other parts of each of these continua.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the more you know about yourself, and the more that you know... And when I say about yourself, about how you view people,
right,
and how you
how
view
you
the motivations and behaviors of other people, the more you understand that about yourself, the easier it's going to be for you to understand why you feel certain ways about people or why you feel and hold certain expectations or beliefs about others.
You know, because I think it's especially, I said in one of these earlier today, I think I mentioned that, or maybe it was yesterday, where we said, especially if you have responsibility for others.
Right.
Because there are people, and I can think of particular individuals, who believe that you make decisions, you're in control, there are no excuses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they're at one end of that spectrum.
Right.
Well, if that's a teacher,
mm-hmm.
if that person is a teacher, and that teacher has that worldview,
right.
that by golly, you are just going to be responsible. Remember, there are kids in that classroom who are on the complete other end of that
right.
spectrum. And may not be exercising free will.
Right.
And they may be doing it for some completely different reason that
right.
they don't even understand.
Right.
And yet we're going to, because of my worldview, I'm going to punish that child
right.
because I assume that child is like me.
Right.
And or like I am. And it, that may not be the case.
Right.
So if you're responsible for people, parent, teacher, or supervisor, please keep that in mind.
Yeah.
It has enormous implications.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's critical that we keep those things
yeah.
in mind. And you're right, especially when we're responsible for somebody else.
Right.
Because it's going to influence how you interact with that person,
how you talk,
how you hold expectations for them,
right.
and everything. So,
yeah.
all right.
Okay.
Well, I think that
more
is it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a great week. I really enjoy. When we do these kinds of series
kind
and we
of
kind of build like that, we really need to do a series on the Big Five,
mm-hmm.
which is another series of personality characteristics. And those are, we call them the Big Five or the Psi Five, depending on where you're looking at it, that are probably much more familiar, that you're probably much more familiar with
mm-hmm.
because of the introversion, extroversion,
right.
That kind of thing.
Right.
And we need to spend a week on that sometimes. So.
We do.
But we have a great series set up for next week. So
yes, we do.
It'll be great.
Stay tuned.
So until then, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.